Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your grace. Your grace on our lives, Your grace on our souls, Your grace on our loved ones, Your grace on this church. God, thank You. You have blessed us far beyond what we deserve. You have forgiven far more than we should have been forgiven of. But because of Your grace, because of who You are, we can stand before You. Because of Your grace, because of who You are, we rest assured in eternal life. And because of Your grace, because of who You are, we come together to celebrate Jesus today. We ask Your blessing and Your graces upon the next few moments, that we would all be blessed by it, through it, in it, and for Your good purpose. That You would speak to our hearts as only You can, and Your grace would abound on us even more. For it's in Christ's name, as always, we come together. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Good morning. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read a handful of verses, 3 or 4, and talk about them this morning. World needs God's Word, doesn't it? This country needs God's Word. This community needs God's Word. This church needs God's Word. You and I, we need God's Word. We need it. So let's go to it right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Listen carefully. Focus intently. Hone your mind and heart to these words. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflow. And Lord, bless the reading of His Word. That's encouraging. It's encouraging to know that God is a God of comfort. God is a God of grace. That God is a God who sees us through. That He's a God of compassion. It's good to know that God is all these things and that He always will be. That's encouraging because there's a lot of discouragement in our world today. Discouragement, whether we realize it or we realize it. Discouragement abounds. It's coming at us from every direction. Anybody at any point this week felt any level of discouragement? Okay, it wouldn't take long to start raising hands. These are questions. Anybody here who has not been discouraged on some level at some place in time this week? I think we all have. Discouragement absolutely abounds, okay? Life, when it gets tiring, when you're struggling with this, that, or the other, or with sin, when family members are, not saved, when the bills are piling up, when it's tax season, okay? That's discouraging. I had to do mine this week. When school is difficult, when health is failing, when loved ones are being hurt by this, that, or the other, when the future is uncertain or unsure, when friends are affected by negative powers all around us, life can be discouraging, and it is very easy to get discouragement. Here's a few things I want you to know about that this morning. Discouragement is a thief. It's a dirty, rotten thief. That's what discouragement is. It will come into your life and it will steal your contentment. Discouragement will come into your life and it will thieve away. It will steal your joy. It will take away your gusto, your zeal. It will steal your peace and your contentment. Discouragement will do all these things. And if it stays in your heart and life, if it stays on the top of the table for very long, discouragement will bring in all of its friends. In other words, if discouragement comes into your house, it ain't going to take long till it's going to have his buddies over. Will discouragement. Their names are tired, hopeless, depressed, doubt, bitterness. Those are the things that if we leave discouragement alone and let him stay, he'll invite them into our house, into our lives very soon, and they'll all take up residence. Know something, Christian, okay? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, here's something about discouragement that we all need to know. Discouragement is caused by blindness. Actually, it leads to blindness, and it's caused by blindness. It's kind of like the chicken and the egg thing, okay? How do you get to one? You got to have the other. How do you, Which came first, I don't know, but it comes from blindness, does discouragement, and it will absolutely lead to blindness. If you are discouraged, you cannot see. You cannot see things for what they are. You can't see life for what it is. If you are discouraged, you cannot see God's blessings of yesterday. If you are discouraged, you cannot see God's opportunities for today. If you're discouraged, you cannot see God's promises for tomorrow, for the future. Discouragement is blind to the very presence of God. And the only way we can escape it is to fix our eyes firmly on Jesus, who is the light, and track our lives toward Him. As God's people, what we need is encouragement. There was a story of two discouraged salesmen, and one turned to the other and said, "You know what I need right now? I need a blessing that's not in disguise." We'd all like to have a blessing that's not in disguise. We all need encouragement, and God's Word gives it to us. Let's talk about encouragement. Let me read the passage once more, and then we'll break it down. It's short, so we can do that. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also, through Christ, our comfort overflows. That's encouraging stuff. Here's what we know from what Paul said to the Corinthians, from what we know from knowing our Bible. Listen to me very carefully. As a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a believer in the one and only true God, encouragement belongs to you and me. It belongs to us. In the same way that your house belongs to you, that your family belongs to you, in the same way that your bank account belongs to you, and you're thinking, well, now, wait a minute, that's something that belongs to God, and He's given it to me to take care of and watch over and protect and be a good steward of. Exactly. Okay? If somebody walked up to you and they said, "That's your house?" "Yeah, okay, I'm taking it." You'd say, "Oh, no, you're not. That's my house. You can't have it." If somebody walked up to you and said, "I'm taking your wife and your children away from you," say, "No, you're not either. You will not take them." Somebody walked up and says, "How much money you got in your bank?" "I'm taking it all." You'd fight it. You'd say, "That's mine. It belongs to me. You may not have it." That's how we need to look at the encouragement that comes from walking with Jesus Christ, my Lord. Be encouraged. It belongs to you. It's yours. Ain't nobody going to take it away. A lot of talk about guns. You know, say, "Well, that's my constitutional right." Let me tell you something. Encouragement is your biblical right. And so, "Well, you can have my guns when you pry them from my cold, dead fingers." People said that a million times. That's the way we need to look at it. You can have my encouragement when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers. That belongs to me because I chose Jesus. That's what encouragement's all about. That's the way we need to look at it. Few reasons, few ways, few methods to be encouraged, to live an encouraged life according to what Paul told the Corinthians here. Be encouraged because your God, because the God, because the Father of Jesus Christ, be encouraged because God is a God of mercy and comfort. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. It is, tells us here, He's the Father of compassion. He's the Father of all mercies. That Greek word, well, I won't bore you with a bunch of etymology and all that sort of thing, but it means compassion, it means pity, it means mercy. Compassion, pity, mercy. All these things are things that are felt in the heart, okay? They come from deep within. They're feelings from one person toward another. Compassion, pity, mercy. What you need to understand is the God that we're talking about, the God who sits on the throne of heaven and earth, the God who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who we are destined for, the God we were singing about when we said how great He is, that God feels compassion and mercy you in His heart. And no matter what this world can throw at you, no matter what this week can throw at you, you can know that that God, the God, our God, feels mercy toward you. And that trumps it. I don't know about you, but that's encouraging to me. Nothing anybody can say, there's nothing the government can pass, there's nothing this world can take that outweighs the fact that that God is the God of all mercy and comfort. We read it earlier in Psalm 86, verse 5 said, "You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call on You." We said that discouragement abounds. Yeah, it's coming at us from every direction. But in Psalm 86, David wrote, and in Romans chapter 5, Paul wrote, but love abounds even more. There's plenty of sin out there, he said, but grace and love abound even more. Comfort, the God of all comfort, abounds even more. The word there for comfort means exhortation, comfort, encouragement, all these things. In fact, it's the same word or form of it that Jesus used when he was talking about the Holy Spirit that we would and have be given in John chapter 14. Same word there. And in King James Version, he is called the third person of the Trinity, God in person. Okay, the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Comforter. Our NIV refers to it as the Advocate. He is the Advocate, but also the Comforter. This shows you that God not only is the God of all comfort, but God brings comfort right to you. Listen to me one more time. It's another key point. Very key. Got to understand. If you don't have comfort, if you don't have comfort in your life, then it means one of two things as a Christian. If He is a God of all comfort, and He in person is the Holy Spirit, referred to by Jesus as the Comforter, if I don't have comfort, then I either don't have the Holy Spirit, or I am not living by the Holy Spirit. I am not following the Holy Spirit in my life. So if I am discomforted, then I am either turning my head away from Him and not following Him. I'm not, as Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, live by the Spirit. I'm not doing it, or I don't have it. And one or the other of those needs to change if I don't have comfort. So that tells us why we don't feel it. Let's talk for just a minute about how do I get this encouragement. Y'all ready for that? All right, y'all ready for how can I be encouraged, okay? Step one, by faith. Step one, I can be encouraged by faith. Bottom line, God said, I am the God of all comfort. God said, I am the God of encouragement. I am the God of mercy, okay? God said it, so I need to believe it. God said it, I need to believe it. And believing it's not just, okay, I agree with that. Believing is acting on it. I need to believe it, and I need to act upon it. In other words, what I need to do is I need to trust Him at His Word, and then I need to just in faith receive the comfort that God has extended in my direction. I need to accept. Bottom line, our lack of comfort is due to a lack of faith. The second way is from others. Receive comfort from other people. Receive it from other people. God uses other people to comfort you, and sometimes God uses you to comfort other people. When we need encouragement, and we're in a situation where somebody comes to us and they try to encourage us, give us a little pat on the back, a shoulder to cry on, an ear to listen to, and then maybe a little advice. All of us at some point or another have been in a mood where we're like, I don't want to hear it right now, okay? You know, I just don't feel like hearing encouragement right now. I'm sort of stuck where I am, and then they come to you, well, everything's going to be okay, and I'm here for you, and it's like, whatever, fine. All right, we've all been there. Understand that. Here's what I want you to understand to go with that. God sends people to you to encourage you. That person came to you. That person is coming to you, sent by God Almighty to encourage you. Remember that next time. And remember, at times, you are the person that God is sending to encourage somebody else. That's how we get this encouragement and help. The third way is through His Word. You get encouragement through His Word. There's a lot of doom and gloom because people don't know what's in here. There's a lot of worry and discomfort and discouragement because people don't know what's in here. I've read it. Let me tell you something. God wins. It's going to be great too. In the meantime, things are a little rough. But it works out really good for those of us who trust Jesus. Way better than we could ever imagine. Matter of fact, we've got about as poor as we're ever going to have it right now. And let me add to that, we've all got it really good. And this is about as bad as it gets. Be encouraged. It only gets better. Know what's in God's Word. If you get into it, you dig hard, you will be encouraged. And the other way, of course, is, as we said, by the Holy Spirit. The next step we see in verse 4 of what Paul said, just going to read half the verse. He said, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and God of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforts us in all our troubles. Who comforts us in all our troubles. Not some of them, not a few of them, not one or two of them. He comforts us in all our troubles. word trouble there, it can mean tribulation, it can mean affliction, it can mean anguish, it can mean persecution, burden, all right? It can, of course, mean trouble. We will have troubles and afflictions in this fallen world. We all know that. But when we come to the point that we're talking about troubles and trials and afflictions, I can't help but go back to the place that I go every single time because it brings encouragement to me, and that is James chapter 1, where verses 2 through 4 say, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces or develops perseverance." Perseverance must, says James, finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So that you may be mature and complete. You see, in other words, what God does is He comforts us in our troubles and He uses our troubles and our trials to make us better, to refine us, to improve us. You see, afflictions are a way of making you better that God can use. And to ultimately encourage us, because one way that I'm encouraging affliction and trouble is to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if God is using this to make me better, that means He's right here with me in this moment. He has not left me. He has not forsaken me, nor will He ever. If God is using this horrible, terrible day that I'm having, or week, or month, if He's using it to make me better, that assures me that He is right here with me in it, and I'm encouraged by that. Means He's with you. Listen, you don't have to worry about whether or not He's going to take care of you. You don't have to worry about whether or not He's going to take care of you. He already took care of you and me on the cross. If He did that, He'll do the rest of it too. He will take care of you. He's proven it time and time again. Last one, and we'll move on. You and I should be encouraged because we should know that it's in God's interest for us to be encouraged. It's in God's interest to encourage us. The second half of verse 4, where it starts, "Who comforts us in all our troubles," says, "so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." In other words, God is doing something so that we can do something. It's in His interest that we be comforted, because when He does it so that we can comfort other people. When you and I are used by God to comfort other people, it brings glory to God. It feels good to be used by God. And so what God has done is He has encouraged us, He's comforted us so that we can comfort others. I mean, sometimes we need to praise God for the discomforts that we've had because He's used them to such great result and glory. But I can't help but draw attention to the fact that Paul put it like this, and this is key. "Who comforts us in all our troubles," God comforts you and me in all our troubles, "so that we can comfort those in any trouble." Listen to me, Christian. Listen to me, American. God Almighty, says this passage, does not comfort you and me so that we will be comfortable. He comforts you and me so that you and I will comfort others. That's the truth of God. And it's encouraging to know the truth, but most people don't. Very encouraging. When you take the comfort that God has given you, and you comfort others with it, and you help others through it, and you encourage the people around you, oh, that glorifies God. It's in His interest that you and I do that. What's happened to our society is quite simple, and that Nickelback song is still stuck in my head this morning, but I won't bother you with going through that. But where nobody cares, there is no compassion. And when no one suffers, nobody cares. You see, what happens is when we suffer through the trials and the tribulations, it makes us care about others that are going through the same thing. It helps us to understand the difficulty that's involved in that. Listen to me, that's why there's so little compassion and encouragement in our society today, because we have it so good. As a culture, we have it really, really good, and that's why there's a huge lack of compassion in our culture today. God does not comfort you and I to be comfortable. He comforts us to comfort others. Don't forget, though, He suffered first. Verse 5, and this is how we'll close, says this: "For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." This means that all comfort, all encouragement, all the helping us through the difficulties flows through Jesus Christ. And what that ultimately means is that it's good, it's right, it's pure and it's holy because it comes through the encouragement that belongs to you. You have the body of Christ to lift you up. You have God's Word to teach you. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us to warm us in the times that we need Him. And in the times that we don't, He's there. But encouragement belongs to us. Now I'm going to do something a little different from what I have ever done, I think, is I'm going to tell you what we're going to pray for, and then we're going to pray for it. All right? We're going to ask God, because that's what He told us to do. If you need something, won't you just ask me? Just ask me. We're going to ask God right here this morning to take the discouragement that ain't right, that don't belong there, that we have no business letting control us, to take the discouragement out of our hearts. Now the sources of it are still going to be out there when we walk out that door. The things that cause discouragement to happen are still going to be there. But we're going to ask God in His eminent power to take the discouragement out of us and to replace it with the comfort that only He can provide. So that when we do walk out that door, we'll bring glory to Him like never before. Y'all up for that? Let's ask Him to take it. Pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for being our God, a God of all comfort. And Lord, we have to confess in Jesus' name before You this morning that there are times, and some of us are in the middle of it right now, when we get discouraged. We get discouraged because we see where our children are headed. We get discouraged because we see where the company we work for or our government is headed. We get discouraged because of people around us. We get discouraged because of circumstances. We get discouraged because of money. Or we confess it, Lord. And at the same time, we ask Your forgiveness for letting that control us. Because with all that You've done, and all that You are, You deserve our trust. So God, as we pray to You this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ our Savior, we ask right here and now that You would remove the discouragement from our hearts as only You can. We don't know how that works, but we trust that You can. And Lord, that You would replace it with the comfort that only You can provide. That You'd replace it with the faith and trust and reliance upon You. Always knowing, always yielding, always trusting that it's going to be okay for those of us who have given our lives to You. We ask that You do it, Lord, because we think it's Your will. We believe it's right. We believe it's what You want for us. If there's anyone in this room this morning, Lord, any man, woman, or child here today who has not trusted in You for the forgiveness of their sins, who does not have the comfort of knowing that they are heaven bound, I pray in Jesus' name that they would come to You today, that they would answer this invitation today and receive the comfort of knowing once and for all what their eternity will be. We love You, Lord, and we thank You as always for who You are and what You've done and for what lies ahead. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.